All right, that's what I like to hear. Today, I'm glad you're all here. Every day, every Sunday, I'm glad you're all here. This Sunday is the second message of a four-week series of different topics, beginning with the letter P. Last week, we looked at the promises of Jesus. If you recall, I set before you a legal document, basically a list of promises, which was a lasting will and testament of Jesus Christ. I never checked, but everyone who agreed with the promises were supposed to sign the document on the bottom. And for those who did not, well, that's between you and the Lord. What a joy and a privilege to be speaking to you this morning on the subject of praise, which involves the heart. Spiritually speaking, the heart is the inner core of your being. It is where your passion lies. It is where you have your true feelings. It is where decisions are made concerning your soul and your direction in life. And is where you determine things that you believe and you don't believe. And as believers in Christ, it is where God is enthroned. God doesn't want a part of your life. He wants all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. God is not interested in half-hearted commitment, partial obedience, and leftovers of time and money. He desires full devotion. Since my topic is on praise, which is closely related to worship, I want to bring your attention to John chapter 4. There's a story of a Samaritan woman that Jesus met at a well, and they began to talk. During their conversation, Jesus patiently revealed to her that he was Jewish, someone greater than Jacob. Then he revealed himself as a prophet, and then as the Messiah. She believed him, and her life was changed, and immediately she began to share the good news with others. But also during the conversation, which turned into a debate, they were discussing the topic of worship. Things such as, when was the best time and place to worship? Jesus replied, the external issues such as time and places are rather insignificant, when he said this, but the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Where you worship is not as important as why you worship. There is, according to this, a right way and a wrong way to worship. And we'll get into the reasons why. Let us gratefully and worshiply do, well, God is the way to please him. There's four ways in which God is pleased. Four characteristics of worship. God is pleased when our worship is accurate. When the advent of the Messiah, the time came for a new order of worship. The time has now come. Shows clearly that Jesus, when talking to the woman, had a radical transformation of what worship is supposed to be. The mode of worship is now to be in spirit and in truth, which transcends all racial, namely Jews, and all places, not just the temple in Jerusalem and the synagogues, but true worshipers are those who realize that Jesus is the truth of God and the one and only way to God, according to Acts 4:12, right? Where it says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The worship in spirit is to worship in a new realm which God has revealed through His Son. The Father is seeking true worshipers because He wants people to live in reality, not in falsehood. Now, if you talk to unbelievers, a lot of them would say, you're the one living out of reality. But in fact, we are in reality. We know the truth of God. And we are not living in falsehood. Everybody is a worshiper. According to Romans 1:25, they worship the creator. No, they worship the creature rather than the creator. Remember, it says that in Romans chapter 1. Everyone has worshiped something, okay? Because of sin, many are blind and constantly put their trust in worthless objects. Now we sing this song, something of value had to be given, something of value, Jesus Christ. But the world looks at worthless objects or people, vain people, a lot of times. People often say, I think of God as blah, blah, blah. And my God is this, blah, blah, blah. And they'll tell you their God. And basically, when they share their ideas, they describe the kind of God they would like to worship. But we cannot just create in our minds what God is. Some comfortable image of God. That's idolatry. Worship must be based on truth of Scripture, not on opinions. To worship in truth means to worship God as He is truly revealed in the Bible. The second way that we please God in worship is authentic. When Jesus said you must worship in spirit, He was not referring to the Holy Spirit, but your spirit. We have inside of us a spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, we're born again. But until that time, that part of the person who makes decisions, it's in a sense dead, spiritually dead. But worship is when we can bind ourselves with God in communication through the Holy Spirit. Worship in it's just amazing that worship, He wants us to be genuine and heartfelt. It's not a matter of saying the right words, but it is more being honest with God. We talked about that last week. Man looks to the outward appearance, but God looks to the heart. What He is really searching for is hearts that are seeking Him. And once being sought and God reveals Himself, a person becomes born again and reunited spiritually with God. Since worship involves delighting in God, emotions are involved. In fact, God gave you emotions in order to worship Him with deep feelings. Now, sometimes in the Christian circles, they say, well, you can't trust your feelings. And some people make decisions based on their feelings, and that's what we're talking about. But there is emotion when we worship God, when we come together like this, and we have hearts of worship, we're emotional, and we are genuine. He does not want us to be fake. He hates hypocrisy. He doesn't want showmanship either, or worship that is phony. He wants us to be honest and real. When our kids were growing up, my family spent 1 week every summer for a long time at Lake Geneva Youth Camp. And every summer, just like other camps do, they had a theme. We had a theme. And we had banners up all over. Get real and be real. And that is what I'm asking for you today as we sit here. Relax and be real. Be yourself. God wants your honest and real love. We can worship God imperfectly because we're sinners and we have flaws, but we can worship God imperfectly, but we can't worship Him insincerely. You can't be insincere with God. Authentic worship happens when you are able to worship in a way that best represents your love to God. Based on the background and our personalities, we're all different, aren't we? And it sounds like a broad statement to say that authentic worship happens when you are able to worship in a way that best represents your love for God based on the background and personality God gave you. But, you know, when you are experiencing it, you know when it's real. When you get drawn closer to God, there is no one size that fits all when it comes to worship and friendship with God. That's the kind of people the Father is looking for, those who are simply honest with themselves and with Him. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, when the Pharisees and the scribes asked Him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And He said to them, Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, "This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." You leave the commandments of God and hold to the traditions of men. This stinging quotation from Isaiah proved the point. If tradition contradicts the scriptures, it should be done away with. Unless we are careful, rituals, liturgy, or a simple attitude of, "We've always done it this way," can create serious problems. Any church can have something outward that becomes revered and is given too much authority, and even more authority than God's word, even to the point of replacing it. Some teaching can give false confidence that what you do on the outside will somehow change you on the inside. But the heart of what needs change is not external. It is internal, isn't it? Jesus called thoughtless worship vain repetition. It may be unknown by many, but Jesus teaches us from this passage that there is a correct way and an incorrect way to worship. God is pleased when our worship is thoughtful. And four, God is pleased when our worship is practical. You have heard people say, "I can't make it to the meeting tonight, but I'll be there in spirit." Do you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Because our spirits and our bodies, if your body ain't there, you're not there. In worship, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And when we gather together in prayer or worship service, we are blessed. Some of these psalms that I'm going to read are practical ways that we can praise God. Psalm 11, 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright and in the congregation. There's only one verse there. I was going to use 6, but when you come into the congregation, bring with you a fullness of praise and thanksgiving. What's that say on the over the door as we walk in? Enter the gates with thanksgiving and praise. Did you do that today? I hope so. There's no charge at the door. The only cost is giving up your self-centeredness, but the benefits are out of this world. When you come in these doors, let's have a heart full of praise. Let's have a heart. Let's leave the baggage at the curb, so to speak, and focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. This one was not in the handout, but we know that this, I want to say it again because you don't have it before you. I give you thanks, O God, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing with praise. We know that prayer was answered in a way that David had new vitality. So he wanted to sing the Lord's praise in the face of every so-called God. It's 131:1. He knew that no trouble or foe could ever beat him or prevent the realization of the Lord's purpose. Give thanks when we have answered prayer. It's easy, isn't it? Once we're healed on the way, that you kind of just forget what God has done in answering prayer. Some people actually keep track of what they pray and they wait for an answer. Come to God with a heart that is undivided and teachable. Psalm 86:11-13. Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. We sing this, don't we? And I will glorify your name forever. For God is your steadfast love toward me. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. A divided heart leads to instability because we cannot serve two masters. It doesn't necessarily mean money and God either. It can be anything that you idolize that's in competition with God. With a single heart, though, in the fear of the Lord, learning from the Lord and asking Him to teach us, like this psalm does, we come with hearts of thankfulness and praise. Today, many churches equate being emotionally moved by music as being moved by the Spirit, but they're not the same. Authentic worship happens when you worship, when your spirit responds to God, not in the style or the tone of the music necessarily. Sometimes it is both, But when the truth of God can be in lyrics, and we can sing his character, and we can wholeheartedly praise God with genuine music, worship can be a beautiful blend that brings us closer to him. That's our point of being here today, learning from him and getting closer to him, learning about him. Christian music over the years has become more sophisticated. New technology, clear sound systems. In many churches, the stage has lighting that's rather impressive sometimes. But all of this can become a point of being showy in any church if we are not careful. By losing focus on the Lord, there can be an empty praise and a vain worship. Worship is much more than just music. This was the case in a church in England, probably a decade ago, you're talking, where Matt Redman attended. He wrote the song Heart of Worship. The congregation loved worship through music. But one day, the pastor, Pastor Mike, said, "We've lost what we wanted to do. Our music is more about style and how loud it has become. People are saying, I like that song or that song leader more than another song or another song leader. Judging music leaders saying, I like this one better than that one. People become consumers instead of bringing an offering to worship. They come for what they can get out of it instead of what they can give to it. So, he asked them to pack up the sound system for a few weeks. In the following Sundays, it was awkward at first. They would bring their Bibles and themselves and any offering of verse, praise, or a song. He said in an interview, Matt Redman did, "It was especially awkward for me because I was a music leader. That was my job. We entered a room with just our hearts and our Bibles. But then someone would share a scripture or a song. It was a wonderful time of recentering and getting reoriented in worship." He said, "When I wrote this song, Heart of Worship, I simply wrote down what was happening. When the music fades and all is stripped away, I simply come longing just to bring you something that's of worth. Something that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song. You search much deeper within. You're looking into my heart." He said, personally, it was just a song that he wrote mostly for himself, but as I examine the health of CCF, and I know Ron does too, we are constantly wondering, how are things going? What can we do better? I do not see in any situation like they had where one preacher or one leader of music is over another. Neither are we drifting or having empty worship. It is important to keep returning to the place where we say, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? One blessing that keeps us focused on Christ is our weekly breaking of bread. This keeps us recentered and reoriented. This keeps the focus of our whole second hour on Jesus. As we continue this morning, let's come to worship, not necessarily needing a change in the way we do things, but by the Holy Spirit, come to him and his word in a fresh new way. We'll leave it up to God to do the rest. Think of your time of worship this way. You belong to Him. He is King. And He rules everything. The angels praise Him. And when we praise Him in worship, we are joining with the angels in their worship. So when we sing, O Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, we can bring this to mind that we are singing and praising God with angels on high. So let's continue our service. Music team, come up. I'm going to go around again.